Hello and welcome to In Conversation With, a podcast in the Lancet Respiratory Medicine. It's November 2025 and I'm Diana Stanley, Deputy Editor of the Journal. This month I'm delighted to be joined by Sailesh Kotecha, Head and Professor of Child Health at Cardiff University in the UK, who is the lead author for a series on prematurity-associated lung disease that is published online this month. Thank you so much for joining us today. Could you give us a bit of background on what prematurity-associated lung disease is and why this term is important and what you wanted to achieve with the series?
Before I start, I'd just like to say thank you very much to the Lancet Respiratory Medicine team, particularly Diana Stanley, who's been excellent supporting us over the last year. But babies who are born prematurely are born at an early stage of lung development. And the focus largely has been on those babies who are born less than 28 weeks, because these are the babies that require help with their breathing, with both oxygen therapy as well as mechanical ventilation. And many of these babies will go on to develop the disease process called bronchopulmonary dysplasia, BPD, which is actually diagnosed by its own treatment of requiring either oxygen and or mechanical ventilation. It's not surprising that we've actually focused on this group of patients, including when they grow up. We've been doing lung spirometry, which we can do from 5 years of age, and get objective measurements. But prior to that, we have very little in the way of assessment. So most of the studies have focused on BPD. But we've realized over the last decade or two is that other groups, such as those who were born late preterm at 33 and 34 weeks, are also at risk of developing lung disease. We've largely ignored this group and only focused on the BPD group. So the concept of PLD, or prematurity-associated lung disease, is put together to embrace many of the risk factors that lead to development of lung disease, both in the neonatal period, childhood, and in adulthood. And probably the most important risk factor is actually gestational age. Regardless of whether you develop BPD or not, the lesser your gestation, around 22, 3, 4 weeks, you'll develop more lung disease than at 32 and 33 weeks. But even at 33 and 34 weeks, you'll develop probably twice as much lung disease as those who are born on time. So the concept of PLD embraces all of these risk factors, including intrauterine growth restriction, BPD, gestation, male sex, and so on. But also continues after discharge from the neonatal unit, because there are other exposures that occur, such as exposure to tobacco smoke, pollution, and to viral illnesses. So it's a continuum. Some disease processes, such as asthma, have also got different subgroups or phenotypes. So in children who are born prematurely, we've actually described obstructive lung disease in the past. But with PLD, what we've done is we've identified several different phenotypes. And these include the obstructive group, which is called POLD, or prematurity-associated lung disease, prematurity-associated PRISM, which is preserved ratio of impaired spirometry, and of prematurity-associated dyssynapsis, where in which there's lagging behind of growth between the airways and the parenchyma. By looking at different associations, such as pheno and body weight and so on, we're finding that there are different early life factors associated with each of these different phenotypes. So I like to think that PLD is a start, and I like to think that over the next few years, we'll start to refine this further.
What are the current challenges with the terminology used in lung disease of children born preterm?
Actually, we don't have a terminology besides BPD, which is actually diagnosed in the first few months of life. So if you imagine a primary caregiver, such as a general practitioner in the UK, or general paediatrician, who sees a patient with lung disease after being born preterm, they haven't actually got any diagnostic labels. What they'll do in real life is diagnose them as having asthma. However, asthma is a completely different disease process. So, to give you an example, as everyone knows in the respiratory field, is that asthma, the respiratory resistance is probably normal at the end of inspiration. At the end of expiration, it increases quite markedly. Whereas in the children with PLD, the resistance is high, both in end expiratory and end inspiratory. So they've actually got that resistance throughout their respiratory cycle. So there is no terminology, and we've been focusing on BPD, which actually the diagnostic label occurred so early in life that we can't really use BPD as a diagnosis in childhood. So I think putting together the concept of PLD has been important because we've now got a diagnostic label, which is important not only to high-income countries, but will also apply to low- and middle-income countries where the vast majority of preterm birth occurs.
And the series highlights the importance of seeing prematurity-associated lung disease as a continuum that begins before birth and evolves throughout life. Why is this so necessary?
It's necessary because what we do know is that those children who are affected, and not all children are affected after preterm birth, they're at the lower trajectory of normal lung growth and development, which means that's where they're going to stay. And they are now considered a risk factor for developing premature COPD. So it's really important that we see them all the way through from childhood all the way to adulthood. I'll give you an example, is that we did a survey 12 years ago with the British Thoracic Society. We asked the adult pulmonologists and the pediatric pulmonologists only three or four questions. Do you ask about early life factors such as birth weight, gestational age, neonatal admission, and BPD? And the answer was zero from the adult pulmonologists. But surprisingly, only 25% of the pediatric pulmonologists asked about early life factors, bearing in mind most lung disease occurs in the first 2 years of life. So I really think it is a lifelong disease process that we need to ensure that the three groups of neonatal, the pediatric pulmonologists, and the adult pulmonologists are firstly aware and secondly talk to each other so that transition occurs between those groups as occurs in other lung diseases such as cystic fibrosis.
What further research is needed to accurately improve outcomes, and what needs to change so that long-term follow-up, early detection, and integrated models of care can be achieved?
I like to think that describing PLD and its phenotypes is a start, because the biggest challenge is that we need to be able to identify the lung disease very early in life. What I mean by that is that we need technology to be able to do so. And maybe the technology is coming around in that we've got oscillometry, which could potentially identify lung disease. Whether it can identify the phenotypes early in life, we don't know. But even if we are going to start using the techniques and methods that we've got at the moment, such as spirometry starting from 5 years of age, if you look at our study, the Rhino study, 22% of less of 34 weeks and less develop lung disease. Essentially, that's one in five. So we could introduce screening. But there isn't a particular time in any country where we could screen from 5 years and onwards. But I think it's going to be important to start thinking about that. We also, the challenges are we need to understand the mechanisms of exactly what the endotypes are associated with each of the individual phenotypes so we can develop targeted specific therapies. But also lastly, I think we need to ensure that the treatments that we've got at the moment are actually readily available in this group of patients with PLD. For instance, we did a trial where corticosteroids against placebo in 7 to 12-year-olds after 12 weeks of treatment improved the FEV1 by 6 or 7%, but not significantly. But the addition of a LABA, which most people don't even think about in this group, actually improved, the combination improved to 14% quite significantly. So we've actually got treatments that can be introduced now while we actually start looking at the underlying mechanisms of developing other treatments.
Prematurity-associated lung disease is a global challenge. What steps can be taken to ensure global inclusivity so that all individuals who are born preterm, regardless of where they live, can reach their full respiratory potential?
I think this is a really important point, particularly as the largest number of preterm born children are actually in the low and middle income countries. Actually, like the high income countries, there is no diagnostic label. What happens is that in most countries, you worry about survival. But now that survival is improving, we need to start thinking about the long-term outcomes in these children as well. I think the challenges are exactly the same as they are in the high-income countries, that we need a form of diagnosing as early as we can, follow-up and monitoring and instituting treatments that we've got existing. So the resources that should be required in high, middle and low-income countries are exactly the same. But in the long term, there are benefits because if they don't develop COPD and so on and so on, you've actually made savings in the long term. So I think it's important that we identify these children as early as we can in any country around the world.
Thank you so much. That was all really interesting. You can read the series online now at thelancet.com. Thank you, Dr. Kotecha, and thank you for listening to this episode of In Conversation With. Remember, you can subscribe to In Conversation With The Lancet Respiratory Medicine wherever you usually get your podcasts.